sing it if you know it. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. Let's sing it together.
In the middle. You
somebody say the battle. Come on, can y'all hear me? Say the battle belongs to you. I want you guys to get that in your spirit. Sometimes we forget. We want to tackle everything on our own. But when you build your life on a firm foundation and show God that you trust him by surrendering everything to him, having a seek ye first mentality, everything that you seem to worry about will be added, but it comes after you surrender and seek him first.
sing worthy, worthy of every song we could ever sing.
we do build our lives on your sure foundation. You're trustworthy. You're present. And Lord, we know we're to be anxious for nothing. We have a lot on our minds this week. There's a lot going on in the world. We think of Haiti and the earthquake there and the many, many lives affected. We think of Afghanistan, and we think of our own country. We think of our town, our county. And Lord, we want to live each day with your guidance and your presence. You say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request to God, and your peace, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, we stand on that today. Lord, you say in Philippians to fix our minds on whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure and lovely and commendable. And today, as we enter this time together, we ask that's what we do with ourselves. And as we encourage those around us, Lord, we want to put our minds on things that you care about. So guide us today as we do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, before you're seated, some of you are seated, some of you are standing, why don't you greet those around you, and be especially just cognizant of those wearing masks, and say good morning. Welcome to those on live stream, as well as everybody here. My name's Rick Dietzman. I'm the associate pastor here at the church. We've got a really exciting morning planned. We're going to have Christy Godwin, our worship director, giving the message today, and she's going to tell her story. Wow. We can't wait. I'm doing the announcements today, and I'll start with the announcements, and then I'll cover something related to our community. We're going to have a class starting today in the adult portable at 10:15 and 11:15 on the sovereignty of God and free will. It's led by one of our elders, Charlie Meyer, and he's going to go deep with some really good concepts. If you've ever wondered about how that works, how does God's sovereignty and free will work together, I encourage you to go over to the adult portable after the service and be there. We're going to be doing that for 3 weeks starting today. Also, we are going to have our children and youth ministries going on this week. We've got high school tonight, The Edge. We've got Crossroads Wednesday night, which is the middle school, and we also have The Edge is actually the Tuesday with the kids. So that's all going to be going on this week, and we are collecting school supplies through August 27th for our school district. What I want to cover today is something that just arose on Friday. Some of you have heard about it, and if you haven't heard about it, you soon will. There has been a mask order that has been given by our local health emergency team. So this, we've had many of these before, as you know, in the nationally and in the state, and this one is originating from the county. So there's been concern about how to mitigate this, and there's lots of different ways to mitigate it. One of them has been mask orders. And so that is happening under the direction of Dr. Allison Berry, who's our health officer, and it will begin Monday, August 16th.
Good morning, SCC family. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 33, verses 20 through 22, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
Such an honor to speak to you this morning. I'm very blessed that Pastor Scott left me in charge. I hope that's a good thing. No, it is. But I'll start out by saying I'm not as cool as Pastor Scott. But I'm going to do my best, okay? Last week, Pastor Scott was talking about detours, and this morning I'm going to share with you a bit of my testimony and a detour that the Lord took my husband and I on in our life. But before I do that, I wanted to start out by telling you a love story. Who doesn't love a good love story, right? So when I was 20 years old, I went to do a YWAM training school, which is Youth with a Mission. It's a mission school. And I went to New Zealand. And a group of us had been talking, all students that were going from America to New Zealand. And Isaac was a guy in this group, and he said, hey, let's all sit together. But nobody changed their seat except me. So for 16 hours on this flight, I sat next to Isaac, and it was really a great thing. We became good friends, and for the rest of the school, we just grew in our friendship and eventually, ultimately, fell in love. So this is where the detour comes in a little bit. We had plans to get married, Isaac and I. He was living in New Mexico at the time, and I'm from Washington State. And so our plan was, after the school was done, he was gonna work and then come and ask me to marry him. And we would live happily ever after, all butterflies and rainbows. But life doesn't always turn out as we planned or expect. On the way home from the airport, Isaac was in a terrible car accident. He was the passenger in a vehicle that got hit, and the driver of the other vehicle was killed, and Isaac was in critical condition. He was airlifted to the nearest hospital, which happened to be in Lubbock, Texas, and he had lots of injuries. Thank you for putting that picture up. He had a brain injury, broken bones, collapsed lungs, and so he was on life support in the ICU. When I found out about this a couple days later, his family said, Christy, we want you to come. We know that Isaac loves you, and we don't know if he's going to make it. So I had $400 left in my little bank account after YWAM. I bought a one-way ticket to Lubbock, Texas, and I met his family there. And I was sitting in the room with his family when the doctors came in to give us this is what's going on, the update. Isaac had been in the ICU for a couple days now, and he was not improving. I remember the doctor came in, and he sat down, and he said, we've done everything we can do, but he's not responding. And he explained to us that there's a scale of cognition, 14 being awake and alive like we are, and 0 being dead. And Isaac was functioning, his brain was functioning at a level 3. Which means it was so damaged, it wasn't even telling his lungs to breathe. And so the doctors advised Isaac's parents to look into nursing homes, and because they said he's going to need to be on permanent life support, he will never live a normal life again, so we encourage you to prepare yourself for this. And we were all just devastated, as you can imagine. I felt like the floor had fallen out from beneath my feet, and I didn't know what to think. I had this little Bible with me that I had taken on my YWAM journey, and I had highlighted Psalm 60, verse 11, which says, help us, O Lord, for all human help is useless. And that's truly where we were at this point. The doctors had done all they could do. Man had exhausted all his resources, and now all we could do was trust God. While we were in New Zealand, Isaac and I had written this song called For the Dawn, taken out of the scripture that we read, that Sally read this morning. Wait and hope for the Lord. He is your help and your shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. So sometimes trusting in our own understanding makes a lot of sense, right? Like, we want to trust in what we can see. We want to trust in what we know. We want to trust the doctors. We wanted to trust our money, our resources, our anything. But everything had failed. Only God was able to save Isaac. And so I learned that through this experience, that really God was the only one I could trust. He's the only Savior. And so we began to pray. We prayed. We called on the church the church, even globally. We had people in Australia and New Zealand where we had just been, and I prayed constantly. I felt like I can relate to Paul when Paul says, pray without ceasing. This was what I was doing constantly. Lord, please, please heal. And I could tell you lots of stories because God heard our prayers and he answered us. I could tell you about all kinds of amazing things that the Lord did, but I'll just share this one story. As I explained, Isaac couldn't breathe. His lungs had collapsed, and he was on life support. And the doctors wanted to make it permanent. They needed to do a tracheotomy and a feeding tube, which would allow him to be on that permanent life support. But Isaac's dad, the man you see in the picture there, he knew his son. He knows his son is a worship leader. And if you have a tracheotomy, it permanently can damage your vocal cords. And so he kept fighting the doctors, not really fighting, but saying, no, 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 we can't do it. Please, hold off. Just give him a little more time. And the doctors said, listen, if we don't do this surgery tomorrow, he is going to get an infection and die. And so they said, come in the morning, sign the papers, and we're going to have him do this surgery. And so we prayed, and we were just like, Lord, please do a miracle. Please intervene for us right now. We need your help. And in the morning, Ivan, Isaac's dad, went into the hospital to sign the papers, and a nurse met him in the hall, and she said, you will not believe what happened last night. When we tried to wake Isaac up, he sat up in bed, opened his eyes, and gave us two thumbs up, and then he was out. And we have, you know, now he's trying to breathe on his own, and we've seen what we need to postpone that surgery. And if he keeps breathing like this, we'll be able to actually take that breathing tube out today and let him breathe on his own. And so God did that. Only God could have done that. And he, at the end of that day, they did take the breathing tube out. And that was the first step on the journey of Isaac's recovery. Eventually, they were able to move him out of the ICU into a regular hospital room. And Isaac remained in a coma for 17 days. And I say 17 days, it doesn't sound like very long. But when you live it, it's a long time. When I was living it, it felt like a long time. But on that 17th day, we were in the room. A nurse came in, and she was trying to wake Isaac up. And all of a sudden, he just opened his eyes. And I wish I could say it was like in a movie, you know, where they someone in a coma opens their eyes and they say, where am I? What happened? And they're just like a little disoriented. But that isn't how it really works. When Isaac woke up, he was very confused. The brain injury had been to the right frontal lobe of his brain, which controls a lot of very important things. So he didn't remember. He actually kind of reverted back to childhood. He didn't necessarily know who I was. He looked at me like, ah, I'm in love with you. But he didn't know my name. So I could tell you funny stories about things he said. He said he called me all kinds of names like Tina, Grandma Veronica. He called me Cinderella, which I was like, okay, you can, that one's fine. But yeah, so that was the beginning of his journey of recovery. I'd like to stop here, though, and acknowledge that I know not everyone has this kind of story. Many times, car accidents result in the loss of a loved one and loss of life. And God has a different story for each one of us. And I believe he's still good, and he's still good even through the brokenness. There was one night while Isaac was still in his coma that I felt like the Holy Spirit really challenged me, that God really challenged me with this. I felt like the Lord said, if he dies, are you still going to love me? If I take him home, will you still follow me? And that was a very real thing, because Isaac was, when he was in the ICU, every time we got a phone call, I was thinking, they're calling to tell us he died, or they're calling to tell us that things are really bad, come to the hospital now. He was in a very bad situation. But when the Holy Spirit, or when the Lord asked me that, I felt like I would say what Peter said to Jesus. In John 6, 38, Jesus asked Peter, well, who do you say I am? And Peter said, you're the Messiah. Like, he's basically saying, you're it. You're the one I'm going to follow. And he says to Jesus, you alone have the words of eternal life. And I knew that was true in my heart, that even if we had to walk through this death, I would be devastated. But Jesus is the King and the Lord, and I have no one else to follow. And I'm thankful that he did wake up, and God brought us on this journey of recovery. And this is my second point. God has our best in mind, despite loss and tragedy. And I guess I just realized I lost my first point, which, do you want to put my first point up there real quick? Sorry. I do have points, okay. the first one was trusting God doesn't make sense, but it is a requirement for following Jesus, right? And then my second point, God has our best in mind, despite loss and tragedy. And Scott shared this scripture last week, Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose for them. So Isaac was in three different rehab facilities over the next several months, and God continued to do miracle after miracle for us. He truly did. At every turn, Isaac was in physical therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy. He had to relearn everything, how to walk, how to talk, the only thing he didn't have to relearn was how to play music, which was pretty incredible. Before the accident, he had been a very proficient musician and very talented, and he still remembered how to do that. But and so God healed Isaac and surprised the doctors at every turn. This accident happened in February 2010, and by July, Isaac was able to return home with his family. And I was still living with his family at this time, just trying to support them the best I could and support Isaac. And so when he returned home in July, he did remember me at this point, let me just say, because people often ask, did he remember you? Yes, he did. Because he asked me to marry him. And and this is crazy. By the world standards, this doesn't happen, and this shouldn't happen. And I even had people close to me saying, maybe you shouldn't marry him. You don't know what's going to happen. He has a brain injury. You don't know. Can he hold a job? Will you have a normal life? What if it's just a bad decision? But I felt the Lord had called me to this journey specifically. And I know that following Jesus isn't easy. He doesn't promise us that things will be easy. In fact, Jesus said, in this world, you will have troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And so I trusted the Lord in this. You can put up the next picture. Yes, this one. when I said yes to Isaac, I was really saying, yes, Lord, I am going to continue to trust you on this journey of faith, because I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that my God is able. And he has been. He is taking care of us. We've had to trust God for financial provision, restoration, for health and healing. And he is always taking care of us. This leads me to my third point. Difficulty doesn't put us out of God's will. If you had told me when Isaac's accident had first happened where I would be standing today, I wouldn't have believed you. Because I thought, this difficulty has ruined my life. Like, we're never going to get back to where we thought God was leading us, right? Nothing good could come out of this. But, in fact, difficulty is what God uses to make us into the people that he desires us to be, and also to put us in the path where he wants us to be. He never wastes anything. Our limits don't keep us from fulfilling God's will. And so if you have been in the church for a long time, or any amount of time probably, you know the story of Joseph. You know how he was a dreamer, God had given him dreams, but his brothers sold him into slavery. And poor Joseph, like, a lot of bad stuff happened to him. Bad thing after bad thing. He's accused, he's thrown into prison. But God is still faithful and doesn't leave him. In fact, it was being thrown into prison and all these bad things that happened to Joseph that put him exactly where he needed to be, in the position of authority at the right hand of Pharaoh. And because of this, Joseph was able to listen to God and save a whole nation. I'll just read a portion of this. Joseph says this to his brothers in Genesis 50, verse 20. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And so, like I said, God has really brought me and Isaac on a journey. And I wish I could say it's all been butterflies and rainbows and wonderful things, but it's been difficult sometimes. But God is faithful. And now we are here. We live in Squim. We have a wonderful community, you guys, and we have 6 kids. I know you think I'm crazy. That's okay. But I still like them, every single one. God is faithful. And Isaac has gone on to do some incredible things that doctors would be like, no, he will not do that. He got his bachelor's degree in graphic design. He served on staff with YWAM for many years. He's taken teams overseas to do missions work. He plays on our worship team, and he's even written his own music and recorded that. And he's a wonderful dad to our kids. And I'm really thankful that God brought us on this journey. And so I'll just close with this. Maybe God has allowed you to be in a valley. We all have our own brokenness. We all have our own story. And things don't turn out how we plan or how we hope, right? But God is faithful. And I just want to encourage you this morning, wherever you're at, to put your hope again in the Lord, that he wants to answer you. He will never ignore or deny anyone who calls out to him in asking him. Whoever puts their hope in the Lord, he will answer you and he will help you. So set your hope in the Lord this morning. He's the only one who's truly able to save. Let's pray. Lord God, I do just give you all the glory. I thank you. Thank you that you are mighty to save, mighty to restore. God, I thank you for this church and each person here, wherever we're at. Father, would you speak to their hearts? Would you continue to do the good work that you have begun in each one of their lives and bring good, like you do, out of the bad? We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sometimes we wouldn't understand him as a healer if we don't need healing. We wouldn't understand him as Jehovah Jireh, our provider, if we don't grow through things. In order to understand him, we need to stand under things to get closer to him. Let's stand and worship together.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here. You are here, healing every heart, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, we sing Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, we sing Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Oh, we sing Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 So lift your voice and sing, Waymaker, Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. The darkness, my God,
that is who you are. You are Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. You never stop working.
You are.
miracle worker. You're our sustainer. You are the source. You're not a resource. You are our source. And we worship you just for who you are. Ooh. Even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working. We need a touch from you. Ooh. Because of who you are. Father, we thank you because you're awesome, because of your sovereignty. We will be nothing without you. Even when we fall short, you meet us right where we are. We thank you for your love, your joy, and your peace that surpasses all understanding. And Father, just like she echoed Romans 8 and 28, for we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And we know that sometimes in the word awe, even though it leads to good, bad could be a part of awe. Things we don't understand could be a part of awe. But we thank you for being the way maker, the promise keeper, the light and the darkness. And we say thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen. Well, I pray you guys have an awesome day. Safe travels. And I pray blessings over each and every one of you. Amen.